reading from the Jiva Dharma. Chapter 16. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya. Chakshurumulitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhushtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale. Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipashini Dubaye Bhacha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Govardhan. I'll be leaving later this morning for Vrindavan and then returning here in a few days. Okay. We're reading from the Jiva Dharma. I don't know when we started, but we're up to chapter 16. I think it only gets better from here in on. And we're in the discussion between Rajanath, the latest protagonist that's coming to Krishna consciousness, and from Babaji Maharaj in Bodhran Dweep and Sridham. Navadvip Dham. And we're going to follow him the rest of the book. I mentioned before that in this genius novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was able to present all the subjects in Krishna consciousness through the inquiries of various people coming to Krishna consciousness. So, Rajanath now is a devotee, so he's asking about not just how I come to Krishna consciousness, but the various subjects of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is summarized in something called the Dasamula, the root 10 instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had asked about Jiva Tattva, and his question of who he is was answered, that he's a atom of light in the effulgent rays of the effulgent spiritual sun of Sri Krishna. So that's a very nice analogy to help us understand. We are part of Krishna. We are Krishna, in a sense. Just like the sun rays are in the room, we say the sun is in the room. The sun is in the room, but it's not the complete sun. So the living entity is a part of Krishna. In that sense, he's Krishna. But he's not the complete Krishna. He's a particle of... And therefore, although he has the same qualities, the atom, the spark, of the fire, the molecule of the sun, it can be extinguished. There's a very interesting discussion of Jiva Tattva, the three energies of the God, of the Supreme Lord. There's the internal potency, external potency, the marginal potency called Jiva Shakti. And from that Jiva Shakti comes the living entity, Jiva. And I like how Vaishesha Prabhu put it, they're marginal, they're open to suggestion. They can be influenced either by the propaganda or eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow you will die, or the Shastra, which presents an eternal reality as a option for the soul. Now, as he's advancing, now he's becoming detached. And he's becoming very serious. And he was a teacher of Nyaya. And his students wanted to go on to study Nyaya Kushmanjali, which is a higher, more as a, you know, a deeper subject of Nyaya. And he just lost interest in this. He didn't think he could fix his mind. And it's not his path anymore. I mean, a Christian scholar became a Vaishnava, of course that's not so good. They're both bhakti paths, but for Mayavadi, became a Vaishnava, he would no longer have taste in teaching the Sharira Bhashya of Sri Shankaracharya. He kind of lost his taste. He tells him you should find another teacher who's interested in these subjects. And test comes. Just as the spirit of renunciation is awakening in him, his family is starting to really pressure him to get married and have a very qualified and beautiful girl from a good family. And his family is so excited. And he resists. And there's a lot of discord in the family. And all the different ladies were working on him and insisting he gets married in different ways. And there were heated arguments and he lost his appetite. And it's interesting, he comes to his guru and he said, I wasn't there the previous day. The guru said, yes, it is raining. And he said, I'm facing a problem, but I'll tell you about it later. Even though he has problems, he's more interested in the philosophy from the guru. Not just to put his problems on his teacher, but really more he's approaching that relationship to get the knowledge that will be the solution to all problems. And now he's asking the question of not just where he came from, but really why. And I think, this is one of the branches of philosophy that, or one of the questions, and I've seen even great Christian apologists that they'll admit that the most challenging question is if God is great, all-powerful, and good, and why is there suffering in the world? And basically, that's what's being asked. And Babaji smiles, and he answers by the Dasamula. And somehow explains that the nature of the jiva is an eternal servant of Krishna, and his dharma is to serve, but those who somehow are opposed to God, who don't want to be a servant and therefore really don't want God. They're punished in this world and they're bound by the modes of nature. And they suffer happiness and distress. And then he explains that jivas, now again, I gave this, what is it called? I forgot what it's called, but disclaimer that this appears to be different than some of the statements that Prabhupada made. I personally liked how I heard Gaur Govindamarg personally deal with it at a GBC meeting. Prabhupada said this, and he said this. He said both things. So it's just going to come to a question of realization. And most, and I read this in a commentary on the Yoga Sutras, that most spiritual paths just don't deal with the origin of the jiva. They deal with the reality that we are here. And there's a difficulty of understanding origin of us and origin of the jiva in this material world. Problem is you're dealing with God, and God is above time, and then you're talking about spiritual events that really don't occur within time. The material world is subjected to time. God, time cannot be above God. It's an impossible thing for us to imagine because we see that time is all-powerful. It is all-powerful because it's a manifestation of God. Time is a manifestation of Vishnu to give karma. But God is not subject to time. So these are somehow or other eternal events within God and deal more than with origins, that it deals more with the ontological nature of God than any specific event. But anyway, he explains that. He says some jivas appear from Baladev and they serve Vrindavan. They have no connection with, others appear from Sri Shankarshan, the expansion of Balaram, and they serve the Lord of Vaikuntha. And these living entities, they're eternally relishing rasa. They're always fixed in their constitutional position. They have no connection with the material energy. In fact, they're unaware that there is illusory energy. And Maya stays away. It doesn't affect them. They reside in the spiritual world. They're always absorbed in the bliss of serving their worshipable Lord. Their life is love alone. And they're not conscious of misery and death and fear. And then he explains there's innumerable atomical conscious jivas who emanate from Karana Dakashai Vishnu, glance upon Maya. And these ones are the Pastha Shakti. They're the marginal potency. And it's interesting, Baladev is the original. Then from him comes Sankarsana in Dwarka. And from that Sankarsana comes the Chaturvyuha, a second Chaturvyuha in Vaikuntha, where there's Maha Sankarsana, not Mula Sankarsana. And from that Maha Sankarsana comes the Vishnus. So, and these jivas, being tatastha, they have this, they're open. They're open. They're open to being influenced. And it's almost like, again, Tata is the shoreline. Is it water? Is it land? It's neither. It depends what it's influenced by. So sometimes they're inclined to look at the spiritual world and sometimes the material world. And among those who some become engrossed in mundane and enter the sense gratification and enter the eternal bondage. And others who perform devotional service receive spiritual strength and enter into the spiritual world. And then he's explaining that he explains to Vajranathis our great unfortune. So I was just, when I was reading this a little bit before in the morning, I thought, you know, how can we not be humble? We made the wrong choice. We turned away from God. And that consciousness is still very much within our heart. So whether we're new or a little bit advanced or we're chanting 16 or 64, we're here. And it's a cause for regret and it's a cause for humility. And then Vajranath asked why some jivas go to the material world while others go to the spiritual world. So why do some choose one way or another? And he explains that Krishna's qualities are also present in the jivas, but in a minute quantity. Krishna is independent, so the desire to be independent is eternally present in the jiva as well. And independent means you can make your own choices. And when you use it correctly, you turn to Krishna. When you misuse it, you're in this world. And in this world, then you have desire to enjoy. And desire to enjoy is antithetical to our nature. It's actually, it can only be fulfilled in illusion. And enjoy means here to be enjoyment here means material enjoyment, as the enjoyer, as the controller, and one falls under ignorance. And then, Vajranath asked the question, which is a nice question. I'm reviewing because it's so interesting, I think, and we'll go ahead too. That if Krishna is Karuna Maya, he's full of mercy, why do you make the jivas so weak that he becomes entangled in Maya? And the answer he gives is that Krishna is Karuna Maya, but he's also Lila Maya. He also performs unlimited pastimes. And one of those is his exchange with the Maya Shakti and the mercy that's distributed within the material world. And Krishna is very merciful because he provides full facility to attain the highest position. He appears before living entity with his spiritual abode, his eternal associates. But then Vajranath says, and I think this is where we'll start today, and I think, but for the sake of Bhagavan's pastimes, why must we suffer? So we'll read. The jivas possess some independence. This is actually a sign of Bhagavan's special mercy upon them. Inert objects are very insignificant and worthless because they have no desire for independence. Only because of the jiva's independent nature does he think himself the master of the world. So this is one common answer to this question, that although independence can lead to suffering, it's a greater mercy to have it than not. Misery and happiness is our condition of the mind. Thus, what one may consider misery is happiness. Thus, what one may consider misery is happiness for one engrossed in it. Similarly, all varieties of material sense gratification finally result in nothing but misery. A materialistic person achieves only suffering. There's so many interesting points. Material sense gratification will lead to suffering. So whatever you do selfishly, no matter how much you want it, or how much it titillates your senses, no matter how much it makes you feel better than others, no matter how much it was the goal of your life, it will lead to suffering. And even if in this life you maintain a position of enjoyment and control, it just makes the experience of death worse. Yeah, even if you enjoy and control, in this life, uncontestedly, it still will make the suffering of death more painful. And knowing that, while enjoying, you're suffering more. And when that suffering becomes excessive, it gives rise to the search for happiness. So therefore, suffering is also merciful. Sense gratification will lead to suffering. And it'll lead to suffering. And you're not giving it up, even though it leads to suffering. Think of all the things we may do that we enjoy that leads to suffering. It doesn't make us happy. Whether it's eating or the computers or something mundane, it doesn't make us happy. But we continue to do it again and again, even though it's suffering. And even though intellectually we know that this will lead to suffering. But we'll never give it up until the suffering becomes excessive. And he says from that, and that gives a desire to actually get something spiritual. This is just a law of the material world. And from that desire, discrimination arises, and from discrimination, a research into the nature of ultimate reality is born. You'll never be happy unless somehow or other you get a desire to find out the ultimate reality. What is life all about? What is life all about? I sometimes remember my first spiritual realization, not first, but I was in a car with my friend Jan, and we were someplace. And we said, you know, there's got to be something better than this. And you're young, without any knowledge, without any guidance. You choose suffering. You choose. Look how many people have chosen a life of suffering. You see famous movie stars or musicians or something, and somehow or other, with all their power, all their wealth, they're choosing a life of suffering, but they can't even understand it's suffering. If they don't have a perspective on life, There has to be an ultimate reality. If there's not an ultimate reality, it's suffering, because there's no purpose, there's no meaning in life. As a result of this research, one attains from discrimination a research into the nature of the ultimate reality is born. And as a result of this research, one attains satsang, the association of saintly persons, whereupon sraddha develops. When sraddha is born, the jiva ascends to a higher stage, namely the path of bhakti. To somehow or other, from the suffering, a desire will arise, and you'll start to analyze the ultimate nature of reality, and then you'll look for a teacher. And if you're fortunate to get one, and in the bhakti tradition, they will give you sadha, faith in reality, in a higher objective. In bhakti, and you'll take to the path of bhakti. Gold is purified by heating and hammering. Being opposed to Krishna, the jiva becomes impure through engaging in mundane sense gratification. Therefore, he must be purified by being beaten with the hammers of misery on the anvil of this material world. By this process, the misery of the jivas opposed to Krishna finally culminates in happiness. Suffering is therefore just a sign of Bhagavan's mercy. That is why intelligent people see the suffering of the jivas in Krishna's pastimes as auspicious, though the foolish can only see it as an inauspicious source of mercy, misery. So suffering is a symptom of doing what's wrong leads to misery, even though you are attached to it. And therefore, suffering is a type of mercy because it discourages you from doing something wrong that will give temporary happiness, but misery. It'll give you a pinch of happiness and a ton of misery. But you're so attached to that pinch of happiness that you continue despite it giving so much misery. And when that tons of misery add up, then you somehow seek to have an understanding. Well, what is life about? Because I've been trying to enjoy and the result is only suffering. So what is life really about? Then if you get a sadhu, then you're very fortunate. Rajita, the jiva is suffering it in his conditioned state is ultimately auspicious. But in the present state, it is very painful. Since Krishna is omnipotent, couldn't he think of a path less troublesome? Couldn't he give himself without torturing us? Babaji, this is one of Krishna's pastimes, which are variegated and wonderful. Since Bhagavan is independent, almighty, why should this be the only one that he neglects? But somehow or other, this exchange in the material world and his bestowing of mercy is one of his leelas. Besides, the participants in other types of pastimes must also accept some sort of suffering. Krishna is the enjoyer and the active agent, karta. All ingredients and paraphernalia are controlled by his desire and subject to his activities. It is natural to experience some suffering when one is controlled by the desire of the agent. However, if that suffering brings pleasure in the end, it is not true suffering. How can we call it suffering? The so-called suffering that one undergoes in order to nourish and support Krishna's pastimes is actually a source of delight. Jiva's desire for independence has caused him to abandon the pleasure of serving Krishna and instead accept suffering and Maya. That is the Jiva's fault, not Krishna. So Prabhupada just sums it up right there. Not God's fault. We have chosen that. And the suffering that we experience in making the wrong choice is a mercy, is a type of mercy that helps us to make the right choice, where real happiness lies. And therefore, that suffering is not really suffering in that sense, in the sense that it's connected to our happiness, because if we didn't suffer separate from Krishna, we would suffer separate from Krishna. But we just wouldn't realize it. We wouldn't, we become used to it. You know, the story is, we become used to a situation that's really not happiness. And that's the story when Indra became cursed to become a hog, and the demigods came down to encourage him to come back and be the, you know, be the king of heaven. But he said, no, why? I'm attached to my family and attached to my food. He's eating stool, but that's, he's conditioned in that way. Okay, we'll read one more. This Prajnanath is so brilliant. He's raising his doubts. It's not clearly understood yet. He has some doubts. It still belies his conscience. It belies his rationality, why God would do this. So rather than just sit there with an incomplete understanding, he raises his doubts to understand things further. And this is the spiritual relationship. And that's why most of the spiritual texts are in dialectic. And why our relationships with students should also be in dialectic. Because their understanding is not complete. And they should raise their doubts so the teacher can understand what aspects of their understanding is not clear. Prajnanath, what harm would there have been if the jiva had not been given the desire for independence? Krishna is omniscient, and he gave this independence to the jiva, even though he knew that they would suffer on account of it. So isn't he responsible for the jiva's suffering? Babaji, independence is a precious jewel, in the absence of which inert objects are insignificant and worthless. If the jiva had not received independence, he would have become as insignificant and worthless as material objects. The jiva is an atomic spiritual entity, and we must certainly have all the qualities of spiritual objects. The only difference is that Bhagavan, who is a complete spiritual object, possesses all these qualities in full, where the jiva only has them to a very minute degree. Independence is a distinctive quality of the spiritual object, and an object's inherent quality cannot be separated from the object itself. Consequently, the jiva has this quality of independence, but only to a minute degree because he is atomic. It is only because of this independence that the jiva is the supreme object in the material world and the Lord of creation. He's saying, this is God's perfection, that he gave us independence. This is an opulence, but it can be misused. The independent jiva is a beloved servant of Krishna, and thus Krishna is kind and compassionate towards him. Seeing the misfortune of the jiva as he misuses his independence and becomes attached to Maya, he chases after him, weeping and weeping, and appears in the material world to deliver him. Sri Krishna, the ocean of compassion, his heart melting with mercy for the jiva, manifests his achintya lila in the material world, thinking that his appearance will enable the jiva to see his nectarian pastime. However, the jiva does not understand the truth about Krishna's pastimes, even after being showered by so much mercy. So Krishna then descends in Srinavadvipa in the form of Guru. He personally describes the process of chanting his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, and personally instructs and inspires the jiva to take this path by practicing it himself. Baba, how can you accuse Krishna of being at fault in any way? And he's so merciful. His mercy is unlimited. Are there any questions? Okay. Anyone like to say hello?
Hi, hey. Krishna Maharaj, it's Rati.
Yeah, Rati. Okay. Anyway, I don't know, maybe it's the day before Thanksgiving, not many people are on, or we have, it's hard to people to unlock. But anyway, we'll end for today. Okay.